Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show. This is the sulfur episode where we're talking about weird, smelly, odd things in space. I actually forgot, and I feel really bad because I told people that I met in the Philippines, I was like, I will give you guys a shout out on my show, and I totally forgot to do it. So to the Atlantis Dive Resort staff and amazing people, thank you for an incredible trip in the Philippines. I actually just recently checked my traffic on my website and I had a ton of hits from the Philippines, so I feel really bad now. I am so sorry I didn't remember to give you a shout out earlier, but I had an amazing dive trip there, and they actually all were very excited and knowledgeable about space. I got a lot of questions about Mars and like going to Mars, and they were talking about Artemis, and I was like, wow, you guys are like, you really know your stuff. So space is definitely something of interest to, the staff there. So thank you. Oh, and they named a cocktail after me. They named it Cosmic Sarah, and they made it the cocktail of the day, and I took pictures. Ooh. So thank you to
What's in them. It? Yes.
Oh, I don't know. It was delicious, though, and it was purple. It was great. There was a like rum and pineapple juice and a bunch of stuff. And then he put a flower on the top.
Was so. It shaken or stirred?
I believe it was stirred. I don't think that they knew that reference either, but
what?
probably not. I don't think that they probably know that many James Bond, Sean Connery.
Oh, I mean, people over in the Philippines. Oh, okay.
I mean, assuming they're listening. Whatever. It's fine. Washington.
What a cocktail named after me.
I know. It was very nice. It was very sweet of them. And they were just like, whoa, this is so cool. Well, you know, and people, it's like, you guys know now. So there's a bit of a curtain. It's a bit of the Wizard of Oz, if you will, here when you're making your own radio show, where it is very cool and we're like, it's fun and it's awesome. But there is also like, we're very human. We're very real. We're all sitting in our respective like recording spaces in our own homes. And so
I am human.
Right. It's sometimes it's funny to me when people are like, whoa. And I'm like, oh, but like I'm like, I'm pretty normal. It's like, don't worry about like thinking that you're like talking to someone famous. I'm definitely not. I mean, I do have a million views on my TikTok. So the TikTok that I didn't views on really even make, but yeah. All right. Stinky stuff in space. I know you guys have some suggestions of other smelly things, smelly oddities in space, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, obviously sound needs a medium to travel across, but not, you know, smell doesn't, right? So if something stinks in space, you're going to smell it, whether mm-hmm. there is water or air or not.
According to many astronauts who have done an EVA, gone outside their spacecraft and then come back inside. They all claim that space smells like burnt steak. Now, they don't smell it themselves firsthand by sticking their head out and smelling space. What they're smelling is when they come back inside and they close the airlock and they're back in a pressurized environment and then they start taking off their suits. Their suits smell like they've been next to a barbecue, like that smell you get when you go near a campfire or a barbecue. Their suits kind of have a smell of it. It's a weird burnt steak, metal welding combination kind of fumes. And that's because of some of the hydrocarbons floating around in space. Not many, very few, but just enough can cling to your spacesuit, and when you take off your suit, you can smell your suit. It gives just a hint, a scent of like a barbecue gone awry.
Barbecue gone wrong. Well, I mean, isn't that essentially our universe a little bit anyway? Barbecue gone wrong.
We have the triple for our universe, great.
Yeah, no, I've heard that as well. I've heard also sort of like burnt toast or like burnt, like mm-hmm. burnt is sort of the theme to that, and then the metallic sort of thing. And I have to admit, I know this sounds really weird, but I had to. I have, you know, some small asteroids, you know, meteorites, I mean, from, you know, my kids and kits and whatever. I've definitely tasted those. I've put them in my mouth. Like, you have to. You have to put a rock from space. It's like taking a bite of gold, you know? Like, you have to just – and it is. It's very metallic. Benjamin, you give me these looks sometimes when we're recording. Yeah, I'm like, man, is he judging me?
I think I'm like, yeah, sure. First thing I would do with the meteorite is stick it in my mouth. And then I
– Yeah, no. It's definitely one of my – Hell yeah,
stick it in my mouth.
One of my first thoughts. I have a Mars one, but it's in a, like a glass case, so that one has never been tasted.
But you've tasted the glass case.
Tastes like glass.
Yeah. Well, we've all licked our glass now at this point because of Kavi's, you know, licking the glass phone invention.
Okay, I get the blame for that.
Yeah. But I've heard that astronauts, that's a very familiar smell, scent theme.
I wonder if the burning thing is because, well, no, I mean, like, there's the burning thing that they all claim, which I was going to like half jokingly say is because they're exposed to the sun more directly, and so it's like literal burning. But I think most of the hydrocarbons that Benjamin was talking about, I think they're called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or PARs.
I was gonna say gesundheit.
The PARs. Are actually produced in, those compounds are produced in supernovas, in the exploding stars. So I guess they're just kind of like these wafting hydrocarbons left over from exploding stars, which are also the same things that create us, right? Like all of the blood, the iron in our blood comes from exploding stars. So,
well, and to like connect this all together into my extremely consumed by this life. You know, my Joides Resolution expedition, we're going to the Lost City hydrothermal field, and it is spontaneously producing hydrocarbons in that area. So that's why they think that it is a very, they think that it's a very prime area for possibly how life originated on Earth. So, and it's, yeah, you know, and it's also sort of relating to, it's not volcanism, but yeah, it's all, I think that's the thing that's always like, I remind people all the time, but even I have to sometimes remind myself that Earth and its chemicals and its systems and stuff, we're a part of this universe. Like the hydrocarbons you're describing that are coming from the exploded stars in space are the same things that we can have here on Earth. And, you know, like, it's just, sometimes we feel so disconnected from space. I'm actually looking out my window right now, watching clouds go by and watching the sunset. And it's like, you know, we say the sun sets, but it's not, the sun isn't setting and rising. It's our planet turning just like all the other planets. I have like no facts that are that odd to share with people. But one that I think that I love to surprise people with, well, too, is that all the outer planets have rings, and that Uranus, our stinky friend, is actually spinning on its side rather than what am I trying to say? Not vertical, perpendicular. I don't know, but it's spinning on. Yeah, it's, I'm waving my arm like spinning on its side, as if people who are listening can understand that. But it's spinning sideways, as opposed to the way that Earth orbits.
It's not going,
you know,
like this.
It's going instead of going around and around and around, it's going
rotation. Did you get that, people in Radio Land? It's going like this, not like this.
The axis of rotation of most of the planets is parallel to their rotation around the sun, whereas the axis of rotation of Uranus is perpendicular. It is at a right angle to the plane of the solar system.
But it
from
is
our
something
point
that
of view,
is,
it looks like a bullseye.
Yes, it's something that's though fun to drop on kids, because you'll ask them like, "How many
please
other planets
do not
have rings?
Drop planets on kids? Please,
do it." And they're like, Saturn has rings. And you're like, nope, a lot of them have rings. Like, it's fun, though. It's fun. It's fun to, especially with kids, because, you know, they don't know. And anyway. And actually, that's why my video on TikTok went viral and stuff like that, because it's, again, weird things in space. Our brains are just like, things go in circles and orbities and, you know, like spinny. That's not how orbital mechanics work. And it didn't go over nearly as well as my one that just that's still I don't understand. But I shared one then from NASA that showed how Lucy got out to the asteroid belts by Jupiter. And when you see it on a three-dimensional plane and how many like gravity assists, and basically it went in the wrong direction to gravity assist off of that and then come back to Earth and gravity assist off of that. It like, it does not, you're like, okay, that makes zero sense, but the math does. So that's my contribution to weird things in space. Like space, it just, it doesn't, things don't, man, even when you see a model of how our solar system is like barreling through the universe, you're like, okay, well, that looks really freaking weird, you know, because we're so used to
things that make sense to us are things that, you know, we have an intuition for, and we develop intuitions by exposure and repetition, right? So like all of these things that scientists are discovering about how the world works on like these massive scales like space, or on these tiny scales like quantum mechanics and particle physics, they're not at a scale that we have either personally lived through and developed an intuition for, or like evolutionarily our species just like has no intuition for it because it's just not on our level. And so it's
right.
Yeah.
It's a bit wild. it's just so much bigger than we can mentally. I mean, that's why we, like I was saying at the very beginning, I'm watching the sun set. The sun doesn't set, you know, but we say that because it just, it still makes sense. You see the sun come up, you see the sun come down. It just makes sense. All right. Let's get another weird space fact. Who's got another weird space fact?
I could do one.
Okay.
I could do one. Yeah.
Okay. Do it.
So there's this idea that, you know, in however many billions of years, the Andromeda galaxy, our nearest galactic neighbor, is going to collide with the Milky Way, right?
Yes.
And exactly. And so Benjamin's doing this kind of like exploding hand motion, like gesturing to
he's
to see
like
how
fist
like
bumping
two objects.
Himself and yeah, and yeah. Blowing it up. Yeah.
And hitting his microphone, as is the rule. And so, and so like we always think about, you know, two things when they hit each other, they're going to like hit and they'll have this collision and they'll be flung back. But that's not actually what happens when galaxies collide, because galaxies are actually so massive that the space between the stars, the things in the galaxies, are so massive that there is a tiny, 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 tiny probability of any two objects actually coming close enough to each other to physically interact. Mm-hmm. And so basically when two galaxies collide, they kind of pass through each other and then get pulled back by the gravity. So what you'll end up seeing is a merger between the galaxies where they're like, if you're living on Earth at that time, which would be weird because by that point the sun would have expanded and heated up the Earth and blah, blah, blah. But like, if today, right now, the Andromeda galaxy merged,
we'll be fine.
We'll be fine. We would like astronomers would be super confused if like suddenly it's like, oh, this star wasn't there and why is that moving this way? But, you know, life would be exactly the same. Nothing would change. And eventually the cores, the supermassive black holes that are at the centers of the galaxies will eventually kind of like spiral around and get pulled in and merge. But yeah, everything would be fine.
Well, that's like, you know, there's an asteroid belt after Mars, and to get out to the outer planets, they don't worry about that. I mean, there's a marginal risk, but like it's so insignificant that they don't even plan for like, hey, what if we accidentally hit something on our way to Jupiter? Nah, nope, the odds are so low. But you know what? I want to blame like science fiction though, because science fiction has, you say asteroid belt and you think of the Millennium Falcon flying through an asteroid belt and, you know, and everything and the rocks are going against each other and I think Javi is frozen, or I'm getting frozen, and
he looks frozen to me.
Oh,
but just because that's his favorite.
Oh my gosh! It finally happened to somebody else. So Javi is frozen right now.
And he's gone.
Oh, and he's gone.
And that's 14 and a half minutes anyway. That's enough. Bye, Javi.
Yeah, you definitely lost the race coming back this time. This is what happens in, again, behind the curtain, right? Like, I think it's so funny if you have a radio station to back you, which don't get me wrong, it is really cool to have a radio station back us. But like, there's still a part of me that's like, there's a lot of work that goes in on our end that we're, you know, doing behind the scenes. And so it kind of, it, to me, it keeps me grounded and it makes us think like, you know, I'm not like, woo, you know, thinking that we have some sort of high and mighty position. But when you hand someone a business card and they, you know, I think one of the pivotal things is when you have a website for yourself. That like, yep, that elevates you. Then suddenly people are like, oh my God.
I need to clean that up. I need to clean up my websites.
Oh, I don't know if I've ever been to your website. Let me check it out.
Computer Fun crash. Hash science. Might need to finish the episode without me.
Oh, no. Oh, right. Okay. Well, we take lost Kavi. And that is okay. But this has been a great episode. Ooh, look at your website. I like it. We lost Kavi just now, so we're going to finish this episode without him because he is having trouble getting back into the recording studio. So for his benefit, the ever so wise and knowledgeable Kavi can be found on Fun Fact Science. All the handles under that. Oh, he has returned. We were just giving you your outro. Fun Fact Science. It's okay. We're on all the time wasters, as he would say. And Benjamin can be found on Science Actually Science on all the time wasters. I'm Space K Sarah on all the time wasters. I also am probably going to start talking more and more about this boat expedition in future episodes, only because it's really, really consuming my life. And I think it's really awesome. And so I want to, I don't know, kind of combine my resources here a little bit to help me promote it, because I'm putting a lot of effort into it. So I'm managing an entire museum exhibit right now, which is literally dominating my life. I like, if you have a wedding planner or an event planner, pay them. Okay. So anyway, you are listening to the Space K Sarah Show. Thank you for tuning in to the Sulfur episode. And we will catch you again next week here on iRock Space Radio.